WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Kremlin claims Ukraine has used U.S.-made long-range missiles to strike deep inside Russia. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg in Moscow.
It claimed that Russian air defense systems had intercepted five of the missiles and damaged one, and that there were no casualties.
In a social media post, President-elect Trump says he plans to declare a national emergency as part of his plan for mass deportations. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
That would allow Trump to tap into national additional resources and funding needed to carry out a program of this scale.
It would include use of the military. CBS News has learned two women, one of them just 17 at the time, told the House Ethics Committee Mr. Trump's attorney general pick Matt Gaetz paid to have sex and travel with him. Their attorney, Joel Leppard, claims Gaetz used code words for illegal drugs.
Representative Gaetz would use terms like, can you make sure that there are party favors present, or who's in charge of the party favors?
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is sharing information on antibiotics for Wisconsin Antibiotic Awareness Week. According to a press release, DHS officials are reminding residents that antibiotics are only effective for treating bacterial infections and should not be used to treat some of the most common respiratory viruses that pop up as the weather cools down. Viruses like the flu, bronchitis, and COVID-19 cannot be treated with antibiotics, and taking antibiotics when infected with a virus, not bacteria, could potentially cause side effects. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reminding drivers to move over and slow down when approaching active roadside emergencies. According to a press release, there have been 60 emergency responders hit and injured by vehicles while working on the side of the road in Wisconsin over the last 5 years. Department of Transportation officials are also reminding residents that moving over and slowing down for emergency vehicles is required by state law. Governor Tony Evers has proclaimed this week as Crash Responder Safety Week. One person was killed in a fiery crash in Mondovi over the weekend. According to law enforcement authorities, the crash occurred on Saturday night when the vehicle driving on South Eau Claire Street left the roadway and crashed into the Buffalo River Bridge. When authorities responded to the scene, they arrived to find the vehicle fully engulfed in flames. The 49-year-old driver was found deceased at the scene in the vehicle. Authorities have not shared the driver's identity, nor have they shared details on what may have caused the crash. One of the suspects in a high-speed chase involving two separate vehicles in Rice Lake has entered a not guilty plea. According to court documents, the 18-year-old suspect was charged with attempting to flee or elude an officer after being accused of leading police on a chase that reached speeds of over 100 miles per hour on Knapp Street in Rice Lake. Authorities say an officer attempted to stop two trucks traveling at a high rate of speed when they turned off their lights and sped off. The driver of the other truck is scheduled to appear in court on Friday. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks beat the Rockets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks pulled out a 101-100 win over the Rockets last night in Milwaukee. It snapped a 5-game winning streak for Houston. Damian Lillard with the winning shot. Doc Rivers says Lillard reminds him of Ray Allen.
Well, Dame just has great courage. You know, reminds me a lot of Ray Allen. In that way, Ray didn't have a lot of bad shooting nights, but when he had one, if you had one shot to make, you still wanted to go to him. And that's how you feel about Dame.
The Bucks host the Chicago Bulls tomorrow night. Men's college basketball, number 19th ranked Badgers, held on to win over Texas Rio Grande Valley, 87-84. Wisconsin remains undefeated at 5-0. College football, the Badgers head to Lincoln to play Nebraska this Saturday at 2:30. Luke Fickell on his decision to fire offensive coordinator Phil Longo.
Just so you know, on Sunday, I had made a decision to what we needed to do, and then came in, obviously had a conversation with Phil and pretty much decided that we needed to do it now.
That's the Badgers Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a lot going on today. Some showers this morning, then windy with falling temperatures this afternoon. We're going to drop into the mid-40s by late today. Tonight down to 34, tomorrow cloudy and still windy with light snow showers and a high in the upper 30s to near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll invite our old friend and colleague Luke Mathers for Tuesday Tangents with Luke and a report on Wisconsin basketball. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, who's here with me every Tuesday. And we've been talking a little bit about, you know, the different realities of and complexities of what people in this nation face with, people who struggle on a daily basis. I live in a community, man, where I see the struggle firsthand every day. And I see children and families who, man, just eking out an existence and just trying to survive in the wealthiest nation on earth. And Sandy, it doesn't have to be that way, but, you know, it is, and it wasn't always that way.
Well, I think we've always had poor, and at one point we relied on charity, and then by the turn of the last century, I think they realized that charity couldn't fill the bill, and the streets, the cities were suffering because of poverty, and poverty that was not handled. And it wasn't until the period of Medicaid and Medicare when we began to solve the health problems so that we didn't simply have people sick and ill on the streets, spreading illness, the charity wasn't enough to pick up that slack. There was a realization that health care was being delivered through the job. And so when you retired from your job at age 65, you needed health care. And so that was the advent of Medicare as well. So these were realities that our society addressed. One of the things the caller before the break, Gary from Sussex, was talking about how it was that he thought that we shouldn't tax the wealthy because it was the wealthy that had provided him with the job early in his career that allowed him to learn the skill that allowed him to start his own business himself. And he identified 1973 as when that was. I would simply point out that in 1973, the marginal tax rate on individuals was well in excess of 70%. And the corporate tax was in excess of 39%. Today's marginal tax rate is in the low 40s for individuals, and right now the corporate tax rate is 21%. So it wasn't necessary to have a tax structure that was necessarily as lean and going to be leaner than it is today in order to provide benefits to society that Gary was describing as some kind of trickle-down that would allow him to receive a benefit because he got a job from a wealthy person who owned a business. There was plenty of wealth and plenty of opportunity in the 1970s in a tax environment that was far different than ours. But we've sort of adopted this theory. We've drunk the Kool-Aid that taxes have to keep going down in order to have a vibrant economy that provides jobs to people, when in fact the tax structure right now is as low as it's ever been, okay? As low as it's ever been.
So, Sandy, it's not coincidental then to say that the advent of the debt that our nation has taken on since those rates have been adjusted, those tax rates, a part of the reason that we're dealing with the deficits that we're dealing with.
Oh, sure. I mean, Bill Clinton had surpluses, and we had surpluses until the George Bush II administration, when we carried out a big war in Iraq and cut taxes materially, and suddenly we had a huge deficit resulting from that. He then had a financial collapse at the end of his watch, whether that was the government's fault or not. Obama realized a situation in which we were at a near depression level of financial recession, which required the government to, on an emergency basis, expend money on a deficit basis to support an economy and to create a revival. But we've had deficits ever since. We had deficits during the Trump administration when we had a vibrant economy, according to him, and we also had a tax reduction at the same time as a vibrant economy. So, you know, there's now groups that have been formed to try and create fiscal responsibility who point out the irresponsibility of reducing revenue at the same time that you're increasing deficits during a financial boom, because when the recession hits, you've shot your powder. You didn't keep your powder dry for the time when you actually need it.
So, Sandy, I'm not saying this to pump you up. All right, I'm getting ready to say.
Yeah.
But going back to Donald Trump's presidency, you and I were on the air, and you said there'll be an inherent danger if Donald Trump gives tax breaks while the economy is booming. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I remember that. That's 7 years ago, maybe. But you were projecting it then.
Well, that's the problem, man. When you have deficits during a boom, you should realize that you're shooting your powder off. You should keep it dry during the boom period, because there will
when
be—
When you need it.
When you need it during a recession, you need to try and support the economy. You will have had deficits to the point where you no longer can suffer the deficits you need to suffer. And we're near at that point. And the recessions that were experienced during the beginning of the Biden administration were because of that kind of emergency. The COVID pandemic was a potential financial emergency. So some of the deficit that was expended during his period was clearly in response to that, and was the right time to use the powder. But we should keep our powder dry when we can.
Let's go to Rob from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Rob. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Good morning. I just wanted to add a few points. When Ronald Reagan took office, I think CEO pay was about 40 times the average worker. I haven't seen the numbers in a while, but the last time I had seen it, it was something like 400-1.
Yes.
And for the life of me, I don't understand how people can't understand what's going on here. They've cut your defined benefit plan. They're going to cut your other benefits. Your health insurance is going to go up. Where do they think this executive pay is coming from? It's coming out of the workers' pocket. I just don't understand how some of these people cannot put two and two together. And in years past, I used to work with people, you know, 20, 25 years ago from other countries, and they would say, your executive pay is out of control. We don't see anything like this in our country. So I think it's an area of American exceptionalism is really bloated, out of control executive pay. The tax code in 86 is terrible in terms of lowering the rates, but then we also changed the notion of a dollar from investing or capital gains is different, you know, money for the sake of money rather than people making a living after actually providing a benefit to society, you know, making a product or a service and delivering it to a customer. That was a big thing. And then NAFTA, we've never recovered from it. So when Ross Perot said that giant sucking sound, that really killed their economy and ruined a lot of these cities. And unfortunately, that happened under Bill Clinton's watch. So,
well, you know, Robert, what you just did was spelled out a slippery slope that brought us to where we are now, you know. And so you can't point to one point in time. You know, this has been a cacophony of many different things all, you know, together that have brought us to this place, Sandy. Is it?
Yeah, and I think that the current situation involves, I think this is an outgrowth of American individualism, which is that part of going along with this individualism is aspirationalism. Americans, poor or in the middle class, all aspire to live the life of Elon Musk, okay? And so we don't have the same kind of social potentially friction because of the wealthy in our country, because for some reason they're our version of royalty. They're the vision of our personal aspirations, and Americans aren't embittered about the wealth that's accumulated by the wealthy. And we've sort of bought into the trickle-down notion that if we tax the wealthy, we'll be essentially ruining our own aspirations to become wealthy like them. We'll be making it more difficult. And we need to temper that. We need to get realistic about that, because the wealthy in this country owe it to this country to pay a fair share of the taxes. And however, because of the power that is derived from the kind of money they have, they have continued to be able to persuade the American public that their taxes need to be lower, okay? And that just doesn't work on a perpetual basis.
You know what I don't understand about that, Sandy, is when you look at exactly how much money a Diane Hendricks will receive from that tax cut, it's peanuts compared to her wealth. So why are they so hell-bent on getting that tax break when it's minuscule? But it creates so much hardship for the other Americans. I don't understand
that.
Well,
I mean, it is true that the top 5% of income earners in this country pay a very significant percentage of the income tax. But that has a lot to do with the income disparity that has been created by the system we have. That wealth that they have obtained because they live in a country whose economic architecture has permitted them to obtain extreme wealth, okay? And we as Americans and they should not simply take all that for granted and assume that government is actually the only impediment they have to, I guess, I don't know what, unlimited wealth. And you would think that patriotism would drive people in the direction of wanting to pay the taxes that support their country rather than the Donald Trump theory, which is that if the tax code lets you escape taxes altogether, only a fool would pay taxes. My view is that, no, only a patriot would pay taxes then.
All right, 855-752-4842. My Sandy Williams is my co-host. He's here every Tuesday and Friday. You two can join the conversation. We are going to get into immigration. Stay on the phone lines, guys, coming up next.
Listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum. Charge the people a dollar and a half just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And, you know, if you haven't heard, you know, who Sandy Williams is, you know, and what he does and what he's done. You know, it's always great to have him on board because we can get into depth on a lot of different things. I've known Sandy now for about 7-8 years, and I'll tell you, I've learned so much about many things, especially about this government, about, you know, legal realities, and you can do the same thing just by listening to him every Tuesday and Friday on this show. Let's go to Tom from LA. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First, I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat, and I hope that we will take time in the coming weeks. Maybe Sandy can do a thing on the second economic bill of rights. This is where we should all be going. We should be looking at the right to a job, the right to earn enough to provide adequate food, clothing, and recreation, the right of every businessman, large and small, to trade in an atmosphere of freedom of unfair competition and domination by monopolies, the right of every family to have a decent home, the right to educate, the right to adequate medical care, the right to adequate protection from the economic fears of old age. These are the things that we should be talking about, and these are the things that will bring us ultimate freedom. Gary seems to think that that guy that gave him the job, that was like a charity thing, I guess. I believe in demand and supply, and I don't believe that a job or I don't believe a wage is a charity from someone. It's because of supply and demand of the actual consumer. But I really would like for us, and if people don't know who Franklin Delano Roosevelt is, then shame on us. We had elected him 4 different times to the presidency. He made transformational change in this country from the Great Depression to what we had up until Reagan. So I just hope that everybody would actually start looking at what it is that's in our best interest.
Hey Tom, let me ask you, because you constantly bring up FDR. I know who FDR is. I know what he did, what he stood for, and many others. But there are many people in this country right now who believe in rugged individualism, which is what Sandy talks about a lot. And so FDR didn't stand for that. And those policies that you are talking about, there are many who believe that's water under the bridge. Now, I'm not one. But how do you get people who like Gary, who called and said, you know, leave the wealthy alone, and there are many others who believe like Gary, how do you get people to say we're going to go back to, you know, those times?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I believe in rugged individualism. I also believe, as a small business owner, I believe in return on investment. I actually believe in investing in our country, because I do believe that we, the people, all of us collectively, are the government. Rather than having, a dear savior, or having someone come in that's going to be the savior for all of us, it's we, the people. I think FDR kind of believed in, he didn't believe in just giving, you know, welfare queens money. He didn't believe in giving billionaires like Elon Musk, who is truly a welfare queen, all the money that he gets to run the different companies that he does. I would say that when you have the WPA system and you make the government the employee of last resort, if the private sector can't provide someone a job, that person just doesn't sit at home on the couch, but that person actually gets hired by the government to go fill a pothole or go does things that actually develop energy, so therefore we have a successful country. I do believe, you know, when you give money, as an example, to education, you're doing that not because you're being rugged individualism. You want freedom. Freedom is the freedom for all of us.
Hey, Tom, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go back to Gary from Sussex. Yes, we didn't give him a chance to finish his thought. Quickly, Gary.
Yeah, okay. Tom's a good guy. I like
I don't want to talk about Tom. What are your thoughts?
Tom had it totally wrong. I did not get a charity job. I went in there, made out an application. There were 30 people looking for a job. Wait a minute. No, let me finish. So I went in there and I said, you hire me and I will learn and I will work hard.
Hey, Gary, all of us did that. Hey, Gary, all of us. You didn't do anything different than any of the rest of us, okay? So what's your point? You support the wealthy, the rich man. You don't think the rich man should be taxed.
Well, my point, Gary, in response to you simply was that back then, that person who was viewed as wealthy by you, who had a successful business that was able to employ you, lived in a tax environment that was far different than the current tax environment and still was thriving. And we did have a thriving economy until we had runaway inflation in the last part of that those years. But, you know, I was simply responding and to your notion that we have to be so very careful about the taxing on the wealthy, because I think you've said this before and CJ has, these people will leave the country or whatever. And my view is that these people, just like that person who employed you in the 70s, is a patriot who realizes what the American economy has provided them, and they aren't going to leave the country. And they currently have a tax structure that is the lowest tax rate that the United States has had since World War II.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. We're definitely going to get to immigration and, you know, the fact that what would happen if Donald Trump was able to get his wish and the instant deportation of tens of millions of Americans. What would that look like to you and I on the Earl Ingram Show? It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays are my co-host.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection have announced the results of a study showing the state's consistent agricultural growth. According to a press release, the University of Wisconsin study showed over $115 billion of economic impact was generated from agricultural and food processing sources between 2017 and 2022. That's equivalent to about an 11% increase from prior years and represents over 14% of Wisconsin's overall economic output. Wisconsin Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde has officially conceded the race after raising election integrity questions in Milwaukee and considering a recount. Senator Tammy Baldwin won her third term in the election by less than one percentage point, which would have allowed Hovde to request a recount if he paid for it himself. In a social media post on Monday, Hovde said a recount would not have found evidence of the supposed impropriety without a court order. The Milwaukee Elections Commission called Hovde's claims baseless in a statement last week. The city of Eau Claire is considering a reduction in the hours that City Hall is open as officials look to address budget constraints. Currently, City Hall is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, but officials say they've had trouble with fully staffing the building due to budget cuts in recent years. The city is currently asking residents for feedback through an online survey to narrow down what reduced hours would be most beneficial to the community. There will be no changes to the current City Hall hours until at least the new year. A number of schools in the Chippewa Falls Area Unified School District were placed on a temporary hold on Monday morning. According to school officials, the hold lasted for about 15 to 30 minutes as law enforcement authorities responded to a situation in the neighborhood of the schools at around 9:30 on Monday morning. Chippewa Falls Middle School, Hillcrest Elementary School, the McDonald Area Catholic Schools, and the St. Charles Borromeo Preschool were affected by the hold. Authorities have not shared details on the incident that caused the holds. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Beauty in Black is Tyler Perry's new hit show. Although the show debuted to lukewarm reviews at under 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, viewers don't seem to care. The show nabbed 8.6 million viewers. If you're doing the math, that's 15.2 million eyes. Perry said he was excited the show is pulling in viewers worldwide to contrast criticism that Black entertainment does not have global appeal. He says Netflix has repeatedly proven it does. Speaking of Netflix, the streamer says 60 million households watched the highly touted, meaningless snooze fest referred to too often as the Jake Paul Mike Tyson bout last Friday night. The 58-year-old Tyson lost an actual nail biter as he seemed to be trying to chew through his gloves most of the fight. Anyone who bet that Tyson's elderly legs would go after six punches cleaned up. Netflix says they wanted the broadcast to be a spectacle, and it was. If you like watching your TV buffer all night, just an awful event all the way around for fight and entertainment fans. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We have a lot going on today. Some showers this morning, then windy with falling temperatures this afternoon. We're going to drop into the mid-40s by late today. Tonight down to 34, tomorrow cloudy and still windy with light snow showers and a high in the upper 30s to near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 53.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly, obvious, he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday morning, we'll talk to an author of books geared toward middle schoolers about not letting a wave of book bans get in the way of good education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we are talking and have been talking a lot about the issues that impact and affect the lives of, you know, the marginalized in this country. And, you know, have we spent an inordinate amount of time on it today? I don't think so. I think if you're one of those people, and as Sandy stated, 42 million or more, and most of them are children and the elderly who struggle and live, you know, in poverty in this nation, is something that needs to be talked about more, not less. Let's go to Al from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Al. You say what?
Good morning. I thought you were going to talk about immigration.
Yeah, we are.
I had a conversation recently with some of my relatives who happen to be Choctaw Apache. I called them down in Florida, and we talked about celebrating Thanksgiving. I want to know, why do we celebrate Thanksgiving based upon the history of people coming to this country, mostly criminals, and stealing the land and killing off as many of the Native Americans as possible, and then enslaving Africans and bringing them here? Why are we celebrating Thanksgiving? How come we aren't exporting some of these people who came here and stole everything and killed all these people?
Well, you know, Al, it clearly, the history of our nation is checkered in some horrible, horrible realities. It's part of the reason why some want to do away with the history of our nation, because they want to act as if those things didn't exist. And so, you know, it's going to continue to, I don't see any of that changing at any point in time. Sandy?
Well, you know, we do. When we took history back in the 50s, this was all glossed over. And so we didn't learn directly, so clearly, what it was that was ongoing. Michael Moore, who's always got succinct things to say, was quoted yesterday as talking about the doozies that we've committed in our history, like the, you know, and he described it as the genocide of 20 million Native Americans and the kidnapping of 12 million Africans to bring them over to work in enslavement in the United States, and the wars that we've had in which we've killed, Vietnam War, 4 million Asians died, and for a purpose that we've had never been able to define. And so, you know, but when we talk like this, there are those who would say we're liberals who hate our country. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, but it is a recognition of things that went on in the past, which is simply factual, right? But this is all part of what this last election was about, because a bunch of the war about DEI and critical race theory was really trying to turn our back on even discussing this kind of stuff, because there was a fear that would have put a dent, I guess, in patriotism. But my own personal view is it's not unpatriotic to simply talk about the facts and say, look, we're going to be better tomorrow than we were, you know, a century ago.
Al?
Technically, Sandy, we've not gotten better in 200 years. We've gotten worse, because we continue to do this, and it gets even worse, and the wealthy are the ones behind it. But I'm saying, let's not export or send people back who happen to be brown. Let's send back all of those who were ancestrally of those people who came and did this in the first place. Let's get them out of this country. Send them back where they came from.
That's a good counterpoint.
Thank you very much for the call. Let me go here, Sandy. And it's time. The immigration plan that Donald Trump says and has promised people that he was going to, you know, get rid of all of these. He talked in mass immigration numbers.
Well, he did always qualify it by saying he was going to export criminals, okay? So that meant it was a smaller number than everyone, I guess. But he does continue to talk about, and yesterday validated someone else's posting, in which the posting was that there would be a call-up of the military to intervene on behalf of the exportation of these immigrants to assist in the process. And apparently Donald Trump made a posting that said true, that he was going to declare a state of national emergency that would permit him to call up the military and use them for that purpose. So you don't call up the military unless it's a big dragnet, not a small one. I'm very concerned. And actually, much of the financial community is concerned because there are large parts of our economy that have become very dependent on the people who have emigrated to this country, are not yet citizens, and might be subject to this deportation policy, like many of the agricultural workers here in Wisconsin and across the country, and many of the part-time workers all across the country. And the sociological situation that would be created by this process promises to be very disruptive and quite troubling. So, you know, I think we have to hold our breath, but I hope that there are people who can cause this to be carried out, if it's carried out, in a manner that is humane and socially acceptable and not as disruptive to both our society and our economy as it promises to be.
You know, Sandy, many of those people are invisible. We don't see them.
Right.
But they are as critical a part of our economy as anybody is. And that's all baked into our economy. So even though people say, well, you got all these illegal people in here and it's time for them to go, you're not going to realize that until your hotel rooms aren't clean.
Well, I think we should understand.
And your restaurants.
That a big reason all these people are here is that our economy was interested in them coming
here,
sucking them up into the economy and putting them to use in the ways that the economy required. And so this has been a bit of a two-way street, and there is no question that a portion that is material of our GDP growth has been dependent on on these immigrants who have come to this country and have been deployed in the manner that they've been deployed in the economy. So while it was made a very simplistic issue in the election process and the campaigning process, it is far from a simplistic process, and it is a very troubling process from both an economic and a sociological standpoint. And the notion that the military would be rounding people up in this country remains horrifying.
You know, Sandy, many of these people have been incorporated into our society. Many of those people do landscaping, they do drywalling, they do roofing, they do many different aspects of jobs in this society that are necessary, and that there aren't enough. Many of them come here with trades skills, Sandy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're not all coming here unskilled and just able to wash dishes. Many of them are highly skilled. And they have incorporated into our society and are making a major difference in our society. To say that, you know, they're illegal and we are going to do away with them, it's easy for Americans, those who support that, to clap and say, great, Trump is going to purge us of all of those things. But I don't think they've given any real thought to the impact of what that would actually mean.
Well, and the other thing is that what we really need to address is the process going forward to permit legal immigration into this country on a basis that is consistent with what the needs of the country are, what the interests of the country are, what the values of the country are. And we seem to have a Washington which forever seems to ignore that process. What is the need? What is the funding for, and what is the design of the process going forward that will support immigration into this country in an orderly fashion? And exporting, you know, deporting millions of people is not going to solve that problem.
Build that wall. Let's go to Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Oh, hi, Earl. Sandy. Thanks for taking my call. I just have 2 points to make, if I have time to make them.
Go ahead.
The first one regarding your conversation on the budget. I, as you know, was a reluctant Trump voter. And as someone who is, who leans.
You should turn your radio down. All right.
Oh, and their policies. Okay. Is that better?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, and their policies. Sandy, my question to you would be this. You cannot balance the budget or cover the deficit or reduce it clearly on tax cuts, on raising taxes alone. There has to be some cuts to programs. And what I found a little disingenuous about Kamala Harris and her campaign is that she kept insisting that this can be done purely by raising taxes, and it can't. We have to cut programs. What programs will you cut to save money? And my second question regarding immigration, I'm going to age myself here a little bit, but I recall during the Bill Clinton administration when NAFTA was passed in the 1990s. NAFTA was passed with the promise to the American people that if we allow this trade agreement, then we will build up the economy of Mexico, and Mexican nationals will no longer need to immigrate to the United States. That was the social contract that was made with the American people. But we did not do anything in our policies to prevent Mexican nationals from continuing to immigrate to the United States. So for people like me who recall this history, I just want some input or some reaction from Sandy, because that was the social contract that our government made to us.
Well, it was bipartisan, first off. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, it was part of the discussion of NAFTA. Another part of the discussion was that it would improve the economies of both countries and all of the countries involved, including the United States. And it's not at all clear that that wasn't true, that the GDP growth wasn't accelerated to some extent by the NAFTA agreement and the principles of it. But it's also true that NAFTA is not really the source of the outplacement of jobs at anywhere near the same level as was the World Trade Organization agreement to allow China into the WTO. It's far more complicated than a short answer. But we need to solve the border problem, and it doesn't do much good to rehash NAFTA.
All right, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We're going to continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
.5 The Tap. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend, and my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently, one of the classes I was teaching, saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santel. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Go right back to the phone lines quickly. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Yeah, I have a question for you, Earl, and for Sandy. Do you think with Trump getting into the office of presidency, he will have any guardrails, or is the system so watered down now we're going to end up with a kingdom or an anarchy? What do you guys think? Based on your knowledge, I'll hang up.
Well, let me answer quickly, and then you can go to the guy who really knows, Sandy. I just, for the life of me, can't understand how our nation has gotten into this position, Sandy, where after all these, you know, centuries, one man can upend all of what our nation supposedly stands for. And all of those different tenets of what our nation was built on, that one man could usurp all of that. But we're faced with that, and it's happening.
Yeah, I think it's a person with extreme will who demonstrates the ability to carry out recriminations that has the chilling effect on opposition. He did it, the movement. I mean, I think he learned it from the Tea Party in terms of being very strident about threatening and then carrying through on threats to primary people out of office. He scared incumbents for whom being in office is more important than moral principles or policy implementation. And so he ended up taking control of the Republican Party. And then through this powerful personality, this capacity to threaten and to carry out on threats, I think he's accomplished a great deal in terms of controlling the media. I mean, we had Morning Joe, right?
Yes.
Supplicate.
Kissing his ring.
And you can tell they're doing it because of their job, right? They're worried right. about the power he has to essentially ruin them financially. And that kind of wielding of power has a great deal of capacity to chill the kind of guardrails that might otherwise exist. Furthermore, he's hell-bent, obviously, on selecting people over whom he has the power of selection to select people who will not be guardrails because he finds guardrails altogether inconvenient, and he showed that in his last administration. So I am very worried about that. I think the U.S. Senate continues to have at least 9 or 10 Republicans who have the potential themselves to be guardrails, And so, you know, I think that this is not going to be unfettered and it's not going to be smooth, but I think it is going to be ugly.
Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Tom, quickly.
Quickly, my good friend Bill is on Social Security. He has stage 3 cancer, and he gets about $1,100 a month in Social Security. He gets about $180 a month in food stamps. And CJ is saying that we need to balance the budget on the backs of people like him, which just sets me into orbit. CJ never mentions about corporate profits in the billions of dollars every quarter, you know, and that the those corporations are the ones who are bleeding us to death. And I kind of believe that that is all by design so Trump could get back in, because he will give them all the tax cuts they need. And they're talking about where else to cut. Oh, let's cut Social Security. Let's cut social programs. Why don't we cut the military? We can't even budget the military or audit it, because it is so big. And we give them trillions of dollars. They ask for $10 trillion, and the Congress says, well, we'll give you $12 trillion instead. You know, why don't we look at that before we start cutting cutting the programs on the backs of the poor?
Hey, Tom, I agree with you totally, man. I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Before we get out of here, Sandy, every day we're going to have the Politrickster of the week, and none other than Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Or of the day.
Of the day. And none other than Marjorie Taylor Greene gets the cut for today. She wants a national divorce from those who criticize her and Donald Trump. And she kind of wants the blue states and the Republican states and the red states to
separate.
Yeah, didn't we have that before?
Yeah, I think that was
It didn't go too well, did it?
No. Yeah, and well, Marjorie Taylor Greene is definitely low-hanging fruit, Earl. I suspect she could be a repeat performer in this category, because she's kind of daily. And I think she now has claimed that she should no longer be considered on the fringe because Donald Trump was elected. Maybe she's right. But I hope that the people all who elected Donald Trump would not line up behind Marjorie Taylor Greene.
So listen to this. The Georgia Congresswoman criticism comes amid reports of Democratic governors taking measures to protect their states against Trump policies. If Democrat governors plan to commit treason against our president and a majority of the Americans, then let them destroy their own state, she wrote. No one will want to live there. And after years of being attacked by the deranged left, most of us are so sick of their bleep.
Yeah. Well, you know, the version of treason has now become... the test of treason seems to be whether you voice disagreement with government policies as being treasonous, which I would tell you is about as repressive as any regime could be. We talk about the Chinese government being repressive, but this concept sounds extremely repressive and dangerous.
All right. Thank you, Sandy, as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Mattinier, Greg Bach Mattinier on air. Enjoy this warm weather. Tomorrow it all changes.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we'll go overtime with Maggie Dawn, plus how will Trump fund the cost of his tax cuts, and the new transportation secretary from Wisconsin, and Fox News. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS.